Welcome to the Retrospect Podcast, a show where people come together from different walks of life and discuss a topic from their generation's perspective. My name is Ian, and as always, I'm joined by Stoney.
Hello.
Jason.
Hello, everyone.
How's it going?
Man.
You just got finished talking a little
bit. We survived the solar eclipse.
Yes. Yeah,
we did. We're all fine.
The world didn't come to an end.
But I wagered that because it was cloudy over here, we didn't see it, it didn't happen.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
If we didn't see it, it didn't happen.
Yeah, right. So it was all just a...
Well, you know, they said that when we were doing the episode on the eclipse and we talked about the New Madrid fault and the big earthquake that happened. It happened like 3 months after the eclipse.
Right.
So we're not out of the woods yet when it comes to potential disasters.
Right.
So, yeah, I had these glasses I bought, and I'm like, you know, why did I even buy them?
Well, I mean, I got
have them for whatever the next time.
My brother,
the next one is 2045 or 2044.
Around here, yeah. My brother texted me, and he had said, what did he say? Let me find it. He had basically said that, he said, hold on to the glasses, because he was like, did you get a chance to see it? And I was like, no, it's too cloudy, and then it rained afterwards. And he was like, oh, well, guess what? The next one is in 2026 in Spain, Greenland, and Iceland.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
I think the next one in the United States is 2044, 2045. And it looks like it goes through Florida, across the southeast, and through Little Rock, Arkansas again. So they're going to get another whammy of totality, which is kind of rare. That doesn't happen very often.
Right.
That kind of...
Maybe next year, or maybe next time, I'll plan better and just go off, take a road trip up there.
People are driving out to these sites. And
when I see the videos and I see the pictures, I've seen them before, but not nearly as many as I did this go around. Because again, the interesting thing was how many people got the chance to see it because of how big the band was, and it was also through all these major cities. So
like, yeah.
But man, whenever you see them, it is kind of it's crazy. There's a photographer that I follow online, and he was able to, he was in talks with Red Bull to have these like stunt planes fly in the sky, and he wanted to take a picture of them from underneath, and they had a plan to do it while the eclipse was happening, and they finally got the shot, and I mean, you want to talk about like a wild picture? I'll see if I can't pull it up for you guys, but you want to talk about like a wild like. Photo that's
like
a once in a lifetime opportunity.
I mean, this time Delta had a flight, that basically flew the entire route of
just
path
crazy.
Of totality.
You want to talk about experience? That's awesome.
I think it was like $600 a person,
so you could just follow the totality,
the whole way.
That'd have been that'd have been kind of cool, actually.
Yeah, it was. I forget where they took off from, but yeah. I mentioned I mentioned that in that episode.
He had said that this may be one of the best pictures he's ever taken, and I was like, I would wager that that's correct.
Cuz
like you want to talk about like a once in a lifetime picture.
It's cool.
There's two planes and they're kind of in between the actual eclipse, and it's that, you know, golden ring in the sky, and it's wild, dude. That's super cool. And,
you know what I'm telling, I have to make note of this, that, you know, the new Fallout.
I haven't seen it.
TV show, on Amazon Prime, dropped.
Yeah.
Last week?
I've seen a lot of pictures.
And
for it
off the first 8 episodes.
They dropped all of the episodes
at the same time.
Oh,
so you can watch the whole thing. So, and then my understanding, there is going to be a season 2, because I believe the California Film Commission granted like $125 million in tax credit. So
okay.
I think they're going to probably move production from where they're at, I think, because they were in Pennsylvania.
Hmm.
And I think in Utah,
mm-hmm.
they did some filming there.
Okay.
And maybe going back to California, which would make sense because that's kind of where the Fallout world takes place, is at least where they're looking for, is on the West Coast. But, you know, I kind of stepped in a pile a little bit, I guess. You know, you never know. But, you know, I've been reading comments about, you know, people about how they love the show or they hate the show or this right, or that right. or whatever the case may be. And I made a comment basically to the effect that, well, you're never really going to please everybody. It's kind of the nature of humanity. Of course. Everybody's going to have their takes of what they like, what they dislike. Oh, it's not, you know, it's not, it doesn't match up with the source material, or I don't like the characters, or whatever the case may be.
Right.
Overall, I thought the show was good. I enjoyed it. The source material, you could tell the person that you know, actually played the game and kind of understands the backdrop of Fallout, which by far is my favorite video game.
Yeah.
But I made a comment because the protagonist in the show, if I'm saying this right,
yeah,
the Vault Dweller, is a female.
Okay.
And I made a comment that I thought maybe a male character probably would have been better in that role. Just my opinion. I just thought it would have flown.
Flowed better.
Flowed better. That's the words I'm looking for.
I think it also probably would have fit the demographic a little bit.
Exactly. Because I just think there's more guys watching. Probably, yeah. Now, who knows? Maybe there's a reason they put a female in to get guys to watch the show. So, maybe. You know, who knows?
Yeah. There's always reasons.
Yeah. I'm kind of beyond all that. I just thought that a male character would have fit the... there was actually a fan-made Fallout film put on YouTube called Nuka Break.
Interesting.
And that little company that put that together did a really great job.
Wow.
For a fan-made film. And the guy they had playing the Vault Dweller... Mm-hmm. I thought would have been perfect for this role. I really wish they could have somehow that would have worked out, because I thought he played it to a T.
Yeah.
But I made a comment that, well, lo and behold.
Uh-oh. You sparked the fire.
I sparked the fire.
Had an opinion about your opinion, basically.
Exactly. I made a comment, and believe it or not, I'm looking at my phone. I'm still getting comments on this deal about, well, what do you have against women and all these things? And I'm like, I got nothing against women. I just think in this particular role I've been better as a male.
Right.
But... Well, you know, I play women character. Who cares if it's a male or female? Well, that's fine. Right. I just think this is a movie.
Yeah.
And I just thought a male character probably would have been better. You could have probably found other lead roles for women in the show.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the Vault Dweller, I think it should have been a male.
Right.
But I tell you what, I some of these comments that I have been getting has been like, you've got to be kidding me. Really? Do you really get that upset over this kind of stuff?
Yeah. Especially when it comes over to like such well-loved properties like that.
Yeah.
People always will get sensitive. Because, I mean, I was in the same boat with Star Wars stuff. Whenever, again, my thing was, and we don't got to get into this topic too much, but whenever I had talked about, I had said this, a similar thing with, not to the same agree with, degree that you're talking about, but with the new Star Wars films, where I was like, I just feel like the female lead character should have been written better. I even said that, and like that was, you know, that was too mean and too aggressive for, you know, people's opinion.
They could have done a better job with that character.
They could have.
Whether it been male or female, it could have been written better.
I'm gonna be honest. I think there are some roles,
right,
that are better played by male characters.
Well, like, and that's
and female characters.
That's what I was saying about the whole demographic thing. I believe that for those of you at home that don't know, Fallout is a what is considered like a RPG game, like a role playing game. So like you create a character, whether it be male, female, or whatever, and of course you can, you know, make them look however you want to make them look. And then in this context, in this world, the nuclear apocalypse has happened. You have to survive, and you know, make relationships with people.
Hence the name
and
Fallout.
Fallout. So yeah, but I'm describing to people that may not know about it. And so you collect guns, you have to fight monsters, and all that kind of stuff. And so with that, I think obviously because of the kind of gritty atmosphere and kind of the edgy nature of it, I think it is a, I don't want to say it's a game focused on men, but I think I would be surprised if men are the predominant demographic of it.
Exactly.
So I think as far, if you were to have a character that was like a male identifying character in some capacity, I think the other right. guys would probably connect with the lead in a different way. But
yeah. And I mean, as I said, I get it.
Right.
I mean, as I said, and I mentioned the comment, it's not a deal breaker for me. I'm curious to see yeah. how the character evolves
especially,
over time.
Especially if the character's written well.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, but and I said,
it was,
you know.
It was apparently well enough that you want to watch season two.
Exactly. But some of these people get so just out of the box
well,
some of
you know
stuff.
What? People had an opinion about your opinion.
Yes.
I have a saying about opinions. Uh-oh. Opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one and it works for them.
Yeah.
So, you know, hey, you know, you had an opinion and you have a right to that opinion.
That's right.
And they can just say, hey, I don't agree with you, but hey, and have a discussion about it, and that's fine. But to come out and you read some of that stuff to me and I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Shut up.
I had a good friend of mine and I, we went out for coffee the other day and he and I sat down. And we didn't plan on having this long discussion about story and character development, but I love talking about that. I love being able to sit down and like discuss characters, and especially a chapter in that conversation was talking about well-written villains.
Right.
Especially like a villain that makes me care about the villain or has some sort of like redemption arc. Like I love that. I think it's sometimes it's the hardest thing, sometimes it's easier than others, but I love it whenever there's like a character that I feel like I know is supposed to be the quote unquote bad guy, but I feel like I can understand where they're coming from. And I'm like, ooh, and I love that. And so, and a lot of times like it's hard in some modern movies to have that sort of thing because it feels very one dimensional. And it, you know, but we had this long conversation about, you know, books and movies and TV shows that we really love. And I've been reading a lot of Tolkien recently and, I picked up the Children of Húrin, and I have been loving some of the characters, and again, just the like, even the protagonist has his own flaws and has his own arrogance and all the stuff that's really interesting. And so to see him, like, there's a couple of times where he's had people that really care about him, like put him in his place, and I was like, this is what I'm talking about. Is like, he's not perfect. He's not trying to be perfect. In fact, like he is quite a flawed individual.
Right.
And but he's got people around him that can help boost him up. And I was like, that's one thing I feel like, to kind of bring it back around to the Star Wars situation, was I feel like it's okay to have a female protagonist, but I think we're so focused on making them all powerful and already that I feel like to have a well-written character, you need to have a character that has flaws, that has beliefs of their own, that has struggles that they've been through. And I was like, and what is wrong with having people, other side characters in a story, help uplift our side character? And I know that this whole, if you want to call it an agenda, you know, got to do it yourself, got to make it yourself. Like, I know that's a big thing everyone's worried about right now, is, you know, like, right. is paving your own way. And I get it. But like, I think that something that we should be able to teach younger people, if we're going to try and push an agenda or something,
exactly.
is like, it's okay to have people in your life that you can depend on.
Yep.
It's okay to have friends, to have family members, to have someone that you can look to that can help lift you up and can help fill in your gaps, can help whenever you are at your lows or you are, you know, you have your own flaws and your own problems and your biases or whatever. You have people that can uplift you in those different areas. And I was like, and that was what we had, like I said, we had this whole discussion, and that was one thing I was like, I was so passionate about my feeling towards Star Wars because it's like my favorite.
I heard they're going to be trying to, aren't they trying to going to be redoing it?
A little bit. I don't know what's all going to
happen. I'm telling you, if they would have just, if Disney would have just gone with Heir to the Empire.
Mm-hmm.
Timothy Zahn's book, that would have been the perfect.
Yeah. I understand why they did what they did, have their own thing. And again, it's mostly about money, and they have their own version of Star Wars because they had the rights to it. So you got to make something to make Star Wars land and Disney World to make all the merchandise. I get why they did it, but it was just, I think it was there was too much moving around. And then, of course, you had slated three different directors. You had one do a pretty okay job, like, setting up the series. The second one spent the entire movie, like, kind of just doing his own thing. And then the third movie, they brought back the first director. So they let go of the third and final director and brought back the first one to try and fix the mistakes the second movie made. So it was just, you had three movies of, like, they're just trying to fight each other.
Right.
And so it's like, so, you know, say what you will about, you know, those movies and all that kind of stuff. They're very beautiful. They're very well shot. The costume design is awesome. Like, the actors did a great job. I have nothing against that. It was just, they had some great characters that I don't think were given the spotlight they deserved. And that's very evident if you see interviews with the actors and stuff. They just are not happy with how it all turned out. And I don't think anybody that really cares about the franchise or that even cares about the idea of those characters are either.
Right.
And so that's the thing, is I feel like I said, I had this long discussion with a friend of mine sitting down over coffee about, like, whenever I was so passionate about whenever they first came out, I started, like, rewriting how I would have liked, like, the progression to happen, the shift in some of the characters, and have a strong female lead that has this kind of push and pull with the, you know, the Star Wars theme of light side, dark side type stuff, where, like, you know, I think that's, you know, and then, of course, interspersed with that, having people that can be in her life that can, you know, a Princess Leia type, they can, like, uplift her whenever she's down and be like, I've been there, I got it. You know, right. Like, what's wrong with having that? And anyways, so
I like the way you said that. I found this thing the other day and I started sending it to a bunch of people. It's the five types of people to surround yourself with.
Yeah.
The inspired, the motivated, the open-minded, the passionate, and the grateful.
Yeah.
How about that?
That's cool.
You know, I like that.
Because even...
just surround yourself with some great people.
Even the, like, the romantic interest of, like, the protagonist and the antagonist of that new Star Wars thing, it felt a little forced at the end because, again, we didn't have... there was not a lot of groundwork to be had. And I was like, you could even write that pretty well, where you have both characters that are flawed, that are both fighting on opposite ends of the spectrum. You know, and I was like, why can't you have them be opposite sides of the same coin, where they're fighting each other to a degree, but at the same time, they're both trying to fight for the same sort of thing towards the end or whatever.
But see, I think that's part of what's wrong with the writing today, and that's in music and in movies and everything. They're trying to force something.
Of course.
They're trying to force a person.
Right.
They're trying to force a narrative. They're trying to force something.
They don't care how they get there.
they really don't.
Yeah.
You know, and you shouldn't force anything. You shouldn't force love. You shouldn't force writing.
Right.
You know,
Well, last night I went to a movie.
Oh?
Kong and Godzilla, the New Empire.
Really? Okay. I haven't seen it yet, so please don't spoil it.
I'm a huge Godzilla fan.
Same. My roommate. I love
Godzilla.
It. Love it. And I said, you know, it's been out now, I think, 2 weeks. I said, it's fixing to probably leave the real big screens. Probably going to be put them on the smaller screen. So I wanted to make sure I could watch it on the PLF screens.
Yeah.
So last night, after my girlfriend left to go back home, I went to the movie.
Okay.
And I got me a big tub of popcorn.
There you go.
A big icy, which I shouldn't have eaten all that.
Why?
Because I felt terrible afterwards.
That's how you got to do that when you go to the movies. That's what you got to do.
And I did that and watched just a great
show
where they just allowed the monsters to fight.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I wanted to say.
Have you seen the ones leading up to it so far?
Oh, I've seen them all.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, good.
I've seen them all.
I
hear there's another one coming out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're having a whole slate full of
What's happened is because this movie did so well.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's done. Well, it did well at the box office.
The franchise. So, if a little behind the curtain, a little bit, we tried our hand at Godzilla back in 1998, 2000, or whatever, and the studio tried to make it their own and did a bad job with it. It was not good. So the people that owned Godzilla, Toho was like, nope, you ain't doing that anymore. And then back in 2014, they allowed us to try a second time. Legendary Pictures did with that Godzilla 2014, and it did a pretty good job, and we got slated for a second one, I believe, which was I think we did King Kong after that, I believe. And then the following one was, I think,
Kong Skull Island.
Yeah, yeah. But the one directly after that was...
It was Godzilla, King of the Monsters. King of the
Monsters. And then I think that one did as well as it did. They were like,
and then
okay.
It was Godzilla Kong against Kong.
Yeah, yeah.
And now this one... Right. I think the next one is going to be Destoroyah.
Okay.
It's going to be the main...
Oh, that's going to be cool.
The villain. So,
but I think the reason why I was saying that was like after one or two attempts, I think we've proved ourselves in a way, and that they've made enough money to where we have like a whole. I think that's called the Monsterverse. I think it's going to be called.
Yeah,
the Legendary Monsterverse.
The Monsterverse.
They're just fun.
Well, you know, Apple had the TV show that they do have the show that I enjoyed. I thought they did a real good job with it. But you know.
Yep.
Good stuff. I mean, I love that stuff. There's a couple movies I really want to see. I want to see the second Dune.
I haven't seen that yet. I bought all the books, though.
See, I don't. I don't. I've heard some bad things.
I don't know.
The first Dune was not critically happy. They weren't really happy with it, but that is a cult classic.
Oh, it is?
You can't beat that. And then there's so many, like Ian said, they destroyed some of the characters. It's like... Miranda and I, we tried to look at the new Roadhouse.
Yeah, okay, what'd y'all think? I haven't seen it.
I hated it. But everybody loves it because they did this and they did that. It doesn't even, they destroyed the characters.
Well, they made them wimps?
No, opposite. But I hated it. There was a couple of parts that were okay, but I really didn't like it. Mm. Well, but they do that. What was the John Wayne movie, True Grit, that they redid? Why would you even try that? You don't need to remake some of these movies. You're running out of shit to write, and you're trying to
come
find
up with
something
new. Yeah. Well, the problem, that's what they do. And this is my criticism of Hollywood, which doesn't surprise me. They're taking these beloved franchises, mm-hmm. and I hate to say it, they're trying to get a little woke.
Mm-hmm.
In these movies,
mm-hmm.
changing all the male characters to females. I've never seen so many females beating up men that I'm sitting there going, okay, really? Okay, I mean, I get it's a movie, but I mean, you know, come on.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that's just why they're doing that.
My biggest thing that I hate about the movies is they take the same story and they tell it 100 times. Think about this. Pocahontas, Dances with Wolves, The Last Samurai, and Avatar are exactly the same movie, but James Cameron won so many because he made them blue. Ooh, look, they're blue. And he won so many awards. It's the same freaking story. And The Last Samurai was better than Avatar.
But that can also be said about music. You can write the same chord progression, but put new words to it and put a new feel to it. And of course, it can mean something for somebody else. So I think I get what you're saying, but like at the same time, like just because you use a motif or you use a vessel to tell a story, I think you can tell it in your own special way. And with Avatar, like that was like groundbreaking visual cinematography.
No doubt.
I think there are ways you can take inspiration from a lot of stuff and then make it your own, but it's just whenever you immediately rip off what is already established as a good thing and like take what like for instance, like I don't know this yet because I was never really a big Ghostbusters fan, but I got friends that are big Ghostbusters fans and they were like, the first like one or two movies were pretty good, and now we're like, they're making it. They just made a new one.
Yeah, they did. Frozen Empire, like, or whatever it is.
It's like we're like, now it really feels like you're trying to milk this name, and it's not like you're like, I get that you're trying to like take from nostalgia, and which I like I said that so you can do that, Indiana Jones and Star Wars or whatever, like you can take from nostalgia and then make it something new and probably tell a narrative or tell a more modern story for this day and age. But it's whenever you do that and like, the characters are poorly written. There's hardly any motivation. And it's like, it then leaves all of us as viewers watching this going, what was this? Why was this made? And it's like, oh, it was made for profit. And then it feels gross. And then it's like, now you're taking an art form and you're taking something that I find nostalgic and love from a well-written story and a group of characters. And instead of like taking that and having inspiration from it and then making your own thing in this universe and bringing all of us into this modern age and telling a modern story or trying to deliver some new values with some inspired characters or whatever, it really feels like it's just a vessel for you to make money. And then it's, and now it feels gross.
But you see, they're starting to do that a lot. Like,
all right, right, yeah.
What's the next one, the big movie coming out? Beverly Hills Cop.
Oh gosh.
Okay. And they're bringing all, even the little art gallery guy, you know, Maxwell, you know, they're bringing him back into it. And I kind of like that. When they bring all those people back and give them one more chance in the light, but they're doing that a lot now.
Yeah.
But, well, you know, that's also one of the reason that the Expendables came out. And, I mean, if you think about that, any one of those characters in those that movie or movies after that are their own stars. They could star in their own movie, but they said, "Let's do this for the fans.
Right.
Let's not worry about making a whole bunch of money. We're going to make some." But instead of one person making it, why don't we make something for the fans? And you got 15 freaking stars in it,
right?
That could carry the movie themselves. Well, yeah. And I kind of like them doing that,
right? They've been, I mean, they're all multimillionaires. Yeah. It's not like they're hurting for more money.
But then that's what I'm saying as well. Is like if you have like these archetypal characters, these actors that play these crazy heroes, even. The idea of let's put them all in one movie is a cool premise.
Yes.
To where like it kind of writes itself if you try to like, if you really just put a little bit of passion into it and then like do your own thing with it. I mean, it is easy for it to probably be a winner amongst
and
people.
And then you have to kind of wonder how much ad-libbing was in that.
Right.
Because you can only write so much to that and you just kind of got to let the monsters, you just kind of let them fight.
Let them do their
thing. You just got to let them fight.
Right.
So.
And that's what I mean is like I think that there's it becomes very clear I think especially if for a lot of us that have seen a lot of movies that have you know listened to a lot of music that really understand a lot of it I think humans may not understand what's going on or understand how like the movie is playing out or logistically how it all happened but I think we all understand the feeling of it and once it becomes devoid of that human feeling I think and we won't get onto the subject but I feel the same way about AI art and stuff is that I think a lot of that stuff lacks that human expression that shared experience of like understanding something and that's how art is made is I think whether it be music or painting or even cinematography like there's an experience what's the word I'm looking for? Like a bias, like a kind of a skewed perception on something or a struggle or an emotion towards something that then is being portrayed in this way. And then I think us as humans as well can go like, oh, I understand that. Or I feel that. And then I think when the only feeling there is like, I don't understand why I don't like this. It doesn't feel good. I think then it's all of a sudden clicks.
At least cheap and dirty, like you said earlier. It becomes cheap and dirty, and they're not investing you into a character. What was that big series that came with the dragons?
Game of Thrones.
I love that. Was a pretty good series.
I got on that series kind of late. Everybody was saying how great
it was. I watched the first season.
Yeah.
And then I got invested in one of the characters.
Yep.
And in the last episode, they beheaded him. Yep. I was pissed. Yeah. I was so freaking pissed. And then they did a big interview getting ready for the second season with the director and writer and all of these characters in that first season. And all of a sudden, the writer starts laughing. And they asked him, "What are you laughing at?" And he goes, "Because I just realized I killed off most of the people on the podium." But you got invested in these characters.
Yeah, right.
And they don't really get you invested anymore.
Yeah.
And you need that investment to want to continue. See, there's enough investment in your show that you're okay with it being, you know, a character that you thought could be better because there's enough investment in the rest of it for
you.
Right. But if you don't drag people in and use that emotion like Ian was talking about, then it's just not worth it to you.
Yeah.
And you're just going to go, "I don't need it."
I really enjoyed Game of Thrones. I mean, obviously the last few seasons, you know, for a number of reasons didn't go as well as
there was a bunch of shows that...
Well, the coffee cup destroyed it for everybody, you know.
Did y'all watch Black Sails?
No. Mm-hmm.
That was pretty good. That was Starz's competition.
Okay.
to Game of Thrones.
I've said it before. The directors of the Game of Thrones show do really well with having source material already. I don't think they do a good job of making their own. And that's very evident with those last two seasons when they were kind of making their own writing, doing their own stuff.
It's tough to create your own world.
Right. Well, especially one like that that has so many well-written characters and has so much realism in life. The reason why, I've said this as well, the reason why I think Game of Thrones did so well is because it subverted everyone's expectations for like traditional cinematography as far as like telling a story. Everyone kind of knows that even if the protagonist may get wounded or injured or even possibly die, there's a potential by the time the movie's over that they're gonna be okay, or that the good guy is always gonna kind of make it out in the end, or maybe be maimed in some way or whatever. Right. But like, there's always this kind of like safety net of like
they just kill people,
and that's
they
the thing.
Just killing so people.
In Game of Thrones, it was very much like we're going to get you involved. It was the realism of like we're going to get you involved in a character, make you care about them, make you love them, and then give them and then show you the trajectory they're going to go. They have a plan. Every character has a plan, has a life, has their goals and aspirations, just like every other human being does. And then stuff happens, life happens, enemies happen, and then they're
dead.
What
about the new series?
I haven't watched the new series. Mm-hmm. I wasn't really...
I'm scared of watching something like that because they're forcing it. Did y'all ever do Blacklist?
No.
I've been meaning to watch it. I never did.
That the very first opening scene will hook you for the whole series. Mm-hmm. And there's two series like that. Justified and Blacklist. And the opening scenes in both of those, you're like, oh yeah. I'm invested. Let's see where this goes.
Right.
And just watch the first scene of either Justified or Blacklist, and it'll hook you.
But to finish what I was talking about, was you have these characters that then all of a sudden are no longer around. They're dead.
Dead.
And then you're left with that void of like, but they had a whole trajectory. Like I was following along with their story, and now it's just over. And then it's like, and then it leaves you with that emptiness that the loss of human life should, I think, in a way. And then it's interesting because now it's like, and then as that kind of progresses and you get really into the show, you then realize like, really no one's safe. Mm-hmm. Like no one is safe from the inevitability of death or mishap or whatever, or betrayal. We don't got to spoil anything, but you want to talk about betrayal of like people that you think are on your side and then commit the ultimate form of betrayal, and that's like, it's hard to wrap your head around, but then it's like, but that you want to talk about a feeling, you want to talk about an emotion, like you're saying, mm-hmm. you get involved with a character and you're like, this is our main man. This is our guy. We're going to watch. He is our Mr. Game of Thrones.
Dead.
And you're like, dude, I loved his character. Right. And again, he had a family and he had a whole goal and he was trying his best. And it's like, it's just the way it is. And that's what I'm talking about by like a well-written character. Or, I mean, I can't even begin to tell you, you want to talk about a well-written villain character of like, a character pops up in the show pretty early on and is like, I'm not going to say is supposed to be the bad guy, but the understanding is like, I'm not supposed to like this character. And sometimes it's a little bit hard because he's arrogant. He's kind of an asshole. And you're like, okay, I get it. I don't like this guy. And he makes some really bad decisions. But then as the show progresses, he has some redemption. He goes through his own struggles. He ends up getting wounded in a bad way and then ends up trying his best to kind of, right some of his wrongs, and you're like, oh man, now I feel. I used to hate you, and now I'm like, and you used to be the bad guy, and
but
now
you see,
I'm like,
that's good writing.
That's what I'm saying, and that's what I mean.
Good writing, and they're forcing too many things now, and it's tragic.
Yeah,
because there's still some good material out there. People got to start being creative and quit taking the lazy route and stealing somebody.
And I think that was also the first application of like long form TV shows,
right?
Where each season was 10 episodes, each an hour long. So like you had you had ample time to just like sit there and show, don't tell. Mm-hmm. Just let the characters be and let the writing just unfold. Let the actors really just convey this emotion and get you involved. Now it feels a lot like, instead of like showing the emotions, like, oh, I feel sad, and it feels very forced and canned, and it's like, it just feels childish almost. But anyways.
Do y'all like, have y'all, are fans of the Planet of the Apes?
Yeah.
I haven't watched them. Yeah.
But I've heard of them. I thought they've done a good job. Yes. With keeping.
But you know what you really need to do? You need to go back and watch the originals.
Oh, yeah.
From the 70s first. Yeah. And follow that train. Because that kind of, it really does set a precedent for the newer stuff. You got to see the Charlton Heston. You finally did it. You got to see that to kind of have that in your blood for the rest of them.
Yeah, but they changed it a lot.
That's what I'm saying. They've changed it.
Yeah,
but you got to have that in your system.
It's amazing how, you know, back then when they made the movies, it was nuclear war.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the new adaptation, it's all about plague and disease. Yeah. It's funny how things have kind of, you know, changed and everything. But yeah, there's a new one, new Planet of the Apes coming out that I
saw that.
Looking forward to seeing that. I'm a huge
Planet of the Apes. That would be a good one for your.
Yeah. I haven't. I know there's a whole bunch of them that we haven't seen. We've kind of touched on a lot of the old Godzilla films, which has been a lot of fun because those are more fun. Those are more.
How can you not like that? Yeah,
right.
Godzilla. Godzilla is coming.
Yeah. But
who doesn't like Godzilla? You know, King Kong. I mean, you know, that's.
Of course.
But you see that even back then, as terrible as those original ones were, it was still good writing, and it was about something people were passionate about, talking about the downfall of nuclear war.
Right.
And these monsters originally came out because of some nuclear bombs.
Right.
And what can we do to discuss that? And, you know.
If we would have had the writing of what we had back then, with modern day graphics, and what sort of movies? I'm trying to think, the original Star Wars.
Well, think about it. Even George Lucas says he would have loved to. He said that. He said that's why he started Lucasfilm, because he would love to have some of these things.
Yeah.
Back then,
can you imagine? I mean, I think of all the real great movies. I mean, Indiana Jones. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of these.
So,
films.
Are they going to redo Star Wars?
I think they are.
I mean, not remake the originals, but I think they're going to try and I think they're going to, if I'm not mistaken, they're going to try and make more films or shows. They're going to try and right the wrongs of the sequel trilogy.
They just need to get.
That's what I'm saying, because I don't think they're not going to go back on it. They're not going to remake the ones they already made. But I think they're going to try and in some way
It's about 35 to 40 years that they remake movies. And the original Star Wars was 78. So it's almost time.
Saw the original Star Wars at the drive-in movie theater.
There you go. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that. I was at a drive-in.
But even theater. like even
those are fun.
Even the original Star Wars, the first film, A New Hope, follows the trope of the hero's journey, that whole thing is, you know, the finding tragedy. There's like a call to adventure. There's all these characters feel very. I mean, there are so many things, but it still has its own emotional impact. I think because there was, you know, a person behind it or a group of people behind
That's
it that were trying to tell a story that was interesting. So that way, whenever that second movie comes in, and of course you get the iconic, like the reveal of Darth Vader being his father, everyone is like, oh my gosh, that is, because it's all these characters, we have time with them, and we experience all the things with them, and, you know, and then to find out something tragic like that, it's like, wow, that's gotta be out of this world to experience, like, what does that feel like to, you know, have the person you're fighting up against be your dad? And whenever I was talking with this friend of mine, like I said at the beginning of this episode, whenever we were talking about it, I was like, let's say hypothetically, Star Wars kind of likes to mirror itself. I was like, what if we did something like that for, if we're going to rewrite, if for, as a fun project, I'm going to rewrite these sequel trilogy of films that are made. And we have this, our lead character, Rey. I was like, what if hypothetically we kind of use that first film to really flesh out her character, her flaws, her loves, her passions, whatever. And then by that second movie, do something very similar with that. And then by the time you really love this character, you really experience what's going on, there's that knife that comes in of like, you know, what if hypothetically someone that she's like vehemently against is the person that she's been looking for the whole time or whatever. And that way it's something that drags us all in and understands the kind of different sides of the same
right
situation. So anyways.
But yeah, there's a lot of great stuff. I mean, I'm looking forward to Dune. I want to see the Planet of the Apes, which I'm a huge apes mm-hmm. fan. I saw another show. What was it called? Was it Argylle?
Oh, that is a new show. I haven't seen it.
I saw that in the previews while I was getting ready to watch Kong.
Yeah.
And it looked pretty good. There's some movies that just lend themselves to be on the big screen.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of shows I can just hang tight, wait till they come on television.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what. Between buying my ticket.
Yeah.
A big popcorn.
Oh, yeah.
And a big icy.
$45.
$20.
No, it was like $40. And I'm sitting there going, and that's just one person.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, there was like four people in the theater, and I loved it.
Yeah.
You know, I had the whole theater myself.
One thing I tell people that I don't think they realize is if you can invest in a good sound system, a good sound bar, it's expensive, but man, is it worth it? I've said this time and time again. You can have a pretty good TV, and everyone, I think, gets hung up on the visuals. They want to have the cleanest picture. They want to have the biggest screen. That is important. But, man, you'd be surprised how much a sound bar with, like, a subwoofer.
I have at my house.
Like
we have a virtual surround sound.
Yeah.
So the inner two speakers come directly at you. The virtual surround sound has it pointed to where it bounces off the walls,
yep.
bounces off the back wall and hits you, and you're like, oh, holy crap.
I spent a bunch of money on a really nice sound bar that has surround sound in it and has a nice big subwoofer I have next to the sofa.
You have to have the sub.
And I would say I have an old TV. It's a little dinged up because, again, it's pre-owned, and it's not the cleanest picture, but I can see it well when I turn all the lights off. But there is nothing like having that sound system turned up and being able to feel it and like really experience it. It surrounds you.
My
next
TV for my bedroom, because I think I'm gonna move that one in my bedroom, which is the oldest TV in my house, still running strong. But it's a flat. It's one of the early Samsungs.
Yeah.
I'm going to move that upstairs, and then I'm going to buy me, I think I'm going to go with an OLED TV.
Okay, yeah, those are good.
I think I'm going to go with OLED. Now, right now, I went with Sony on my new TV, so I'm probably going to stick with Sony.
Yeah.
Another
good brand is Samsung.
I'm a Samsung person.
And I had Samsung before. I said, I'm going to try Sony this time. Now, Sony's processors are really good.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to look at a sound bar for the bedroom, too. Won't need it nearly as big as my den. Very big at all. But for my bedroom, I probably can get a small sound bar and be blowing me out the bed.
Yeah.
But
we have some good sound bars with the virtual surround sound and the base in them.
Right.
For your bedroom, it'd probably be great.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But if, like you said, for your living room, you got to have the.
You need to have a little bit extra.
The subwoofer
in there.
And
just. Yeah. And again, I have a nice, you guys have seen it, I have a pretty big sectional where I can fit, you know, upwards of 5 to 8 people on there. And so a lot of times, like having that be a place where everyone can hang out and then. You know, listen to music or whatever.
Right.
It just has that. Exactly. Has the ability that the subwoofer, I want to say, is probably a 12. 12 or a 15, I can't remember. It's big enough where like where it'll rumble the couch, and it's like and it feels good because like especially when there's an explosion or there's like you know, cool music or whatever, it just it enhances that experience.
It definitely does.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for. I think I'm going to do OLED. I have the newest TV is a mini LED.
Okay.
I think I'm gonna go OLED because that the bedroom stays darker. Yeah. So I think probably the OLED would probably be a better.
Yeah.
You know, a better technology mm-hmm. for that setting versus the den, which is a little brighter.
Right.
So even though now I think the next it's micro LED.
Oh yeah,
well, that's why the plasmas died. Basically, plasma TV is dead because it just you know the brightness and all that and just
OLED is
the size of
OLED
it.
is I'm telling you, an OLED TV in a dark room is an incredible sight to behold.
Oh yeah,
I mean it really is. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now they got 8K TVs.
Wild.
Can't even see 8K.
Yeah, you can't even see 4K.
Right. Yeah. All right. That's what I meant. Is like you can sit here and you can kind of start, you know, pixel peeping and starting, you know, really, I mean, get so granular. Like I mean, the picture will probably look really nice. But a lot of times if the sound is not good, it just won't put you into it.
I've always said if I had the like lottery type money and I can build a home and
I would build my home design theater.
I would design a home theater room. Yeah. I could really spend some serious money.
I would have my own theater. I would everything.
Stadium the theater seat.
Theater seats.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Kind of changing the subject a little bit. I just recently bought the whole 6-book collection for Dune. I don't know if I mentioned that to you or not. I told myself if I had the chance to find it, I wanted to get it. You mentioned Dune a little while ago, and I've never read.
I thought Dune was good. Stoney said he didn't like it.
I never read. I haven't seen the movies, and I haven't read the books.
The new Dune,
right?
I love the old Dune.
Right? Yeah. You probably put. I mean, I get that because I kind of put that Dune like the original. What was that, Blade Runner?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then they redid the new Blade Runner, and you know, people were saying it's not quite the same, and you know, all that stuff. And
right.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's.
I've never watched the movies of. The only thing for Dune I've seen is the old one from like the 80s.
Right.
And that was pretty wild.
With Sting?
Yeah. Yes. I forgot about that.
With Sting.
Yes. But,
and he did great in that, too.
Yeah, he did.
But I haven't read the books, though. And so they have because of the motion picture, they have like, I think they've re-released them and they have some like really cool art on like the front of them that aren't the movie posters. I don't like to buy books that have like the movie poster stuff on it. I want to buy like the book itself. And so they had online like a whole like 6-book collection that I wanted to get. And I told myself if I ever found it at the bookstore, I was going to get it. And I did, and I found it, and it was the only one left. So I almost talked myself out of getting it because it was a bit expensive. It was all of them, and I didn't hold myself to anything. I was just like, if I find it, I want to consider getting it. And when I saw it, I was like, this is when I should really consider getting it. And then I saw that it was the only one left, and I was like, I have to. And it was marked down a little bit. It was like a little discount going on. I'm a member of that bookstore, and so I got it as an even further discount. So I think if you buy them all individually, it'd be like $120. The bundle was like $110, but it was marked down to like 90 something. With my discount, I got it for just about $80. And I was like, oh, yeah. So I have all of them now. I'm going to read those eventually.
If there's a movie made from a book,
okay,
do you read the book first or watch the movie?
I would say read the book.
See, I'm the other way. Watch the movie first and then go read the book. And I learned this from a movie back in the 80s called The Keep. And I saw the movie and I was like, oh, I got to find the book. And it destroyed me and it destroyed the movie because the book was 100 times better.
It always will be.
I mean, just
you have more detail in a book. I think you have time to develop characters better in a book than you do in a movie. A movie, you got maybe 2 hours to try to compress.
Yeah. For me, I feel like I am open-minded enough that I know that they're different. That, I mean, I know that there are different forms of media. We talked about this a little bit with Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. If it's not Star Wars for me, it's Lord of the Rings. Those are the two pillars in which I hold a lot of my, like, the pop culture stuff that I love. Those are the two things that I probably know too much about. And on the other podcast where I watch movies and stuff like that, it was the two things that are off limits, because that's the whole premise of the show, is that I usually don't know what we're watching or don't know anything about it. So I think that kind of ruins the magic of that podcast. But with Lord of the Rings, I had never read the books, but I watched the movies, and I think that they're awesome. Then after reading the books and seeing how much more expansive it is and how much more detail it is, and, you know, it's very unique in its own regard. And as an artist, I can look at it and go, okay, I see how Peter Jackson was able to make it his own, but still honor the source material. It's not perfect one-to-one, but it is his own creation of something that is, and we talked about this kind of at the beginning of this whole conversation we've been having, is like taking something and then making it your own, but still like honoring the source material, I think is important, that is not being done today a lot. It's like they're taking it, making it their own, and really just shitting on the original.
Almost plagiarizing
Right. And making it worse. And it's like, it's harder then to be like, I'm a fan of the source material. And now it's like, and it really feels like you're kind of like stepping on it in a bad way. Whereas like, I feel like with, for instance, you know, like the Peter Jackson Lord of the Rings films, the director's cuts are long films. And there's a lot that goes into them. And it's not, and they even still cut out stuff from the books. But I think it is still uniquely its own medium, its own thing, and I think they tell an interesting story while still honoring what the original source material is. And but sometimes they don't do that, and that gets hard.
And director's cuts are always the way to go.
Oh yeah,
even like Dances with Wolves.
That was a great show.
Have you seen the director's cut?
I think I have.
That adds so many minutes, and it adds so much to the storyline.
Interesting.
That changes the complexity of the movie. Even though the movie is a great movie, 3 hours long, almost 4 hours long, it's fantastic.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Fantastic.
But like, so I've never seen the new Dune films, but after I read the books, and I probably will fall in love, because I've heard it is classic sci-fi literature, and it is a must read for a reason, because it's really good. And I'm like, and I have no doubt that the books are probably really great. So I'll probably read the first few and then watch the films. And I think the films will probably take its liberties with things, and I probably won't like it for it being true. But if the movies are made well, I know the actors in it are really high class actors that are, I think, do a really good job. So, I mean, if it's uniquely its own thing and it takes its own stuff and it doesn't crap on the source material, I probably will be okay with it, but it just depends. So to each their own, but.
All right. We shall see.
Yep.
Anything else you guys want to touch on, or are we going to go ahead and...
No, I don't want to have anything else.
I'm excited. There's a lot of cool stuff coming up, and
there's a lot of good movies.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope they're good.
I haven't, like I said earlier, I haven't seen the new Fallout series, but you've got me interested now.
Check it out. I think they've done a very good job of keeping, you know, true to the source
and,
you know, understanding. I think people who've never played the video game would still enjoy it.
Okay.
It has its goofiness.
That's fun.
That, you know, Fallout is...
Where can you watch it?
Huh?
Where can you watch it? What's it on?
It's Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime. Okay.
Yeah, it's on the Amazon platform. So, but I think the last I saw, I think it was like a 91% Rotten Tomatoes, which is pretty dang good.
Yeah, that's great.
It's hard to get that.
Yeah. So people are excited about it. And, you know, Fallout is a huge following.
Multi-decade long game series.
So I think if anything, now that Microsoft owns Bethesda, I wouldn't be surprised if they start trying to push Fallout 5 sooner, even though they say they're going to do Elder Scrolls before. We'll see.
I just want them to take their time with it. Don't rush it.
Well, Fallout 4 is getting a next-gen update.
Okay.
And it's getting a new DLC.
I'm okay with that. I get it.
I'd love to see them remaster Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas. I still love those games.
Probably not. Well, I don't think they can for New Vegas because of Obsidian and all that stuff, but because of their
I love the whole thing.
I would, but I'm with you.
Three, I really do.
I started on Fallout 3, and that's a great game. You want to talk about great story, father son?
Yes.
I mean, it's a great story. And anyways, so but
everybody out there, check it out.
Yeah.
If you play video games, if it's not, fun. You know, some good stuff.
Right.
Cool. Watch the movie.
Watch the movie.
Yeah. Well, if you have any recommendations for us, because I feel like after this episode, we're going to get a lot of people talking about they're going to have their own two cents about characters and movies and things like that. I'd be interested to hear your suggestions. We have a Facebook page /RetrospectPod where you can go ahead and throw some of those. Or if you have your more long-winded answers that you really want to just tell us your opinion about certain things, we have an email address, getoffendedtogether@gmail.com, where you can submit those. But anyways, until next week, thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye.
Goodbye, everyone. God bless.
Thanks for hanging out with us today. You're the best. Peace.